Packers fans.
Welcome to Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. Joined this morning by our live blog directors, John Rahor, Jamie Jores. We're talking about a Packers victory this morning over the Houston Texans. How good does that feel, folks? How good does it feel to beat one of the best teams in the NFL, an undefeated team coming into the game? Normally, Monday is, oh snap, with Brett Goode. I'm sorry, folks. I'm not getting an answer from Brett Goode this morning. But seeing as it was a night game last night and the Packers probably got back home at about, 3 a.m., I'm assuming Brett is just, still sleeping in this morning. And who can blame him? I think he's in bed yet and, sleeping away a hard-fought victory last night. So we'll allow him for that. I'll see here if I get an update on Brett Goode. But if not, anyway. We will enjoy the Packers' victory over the Houston Texans regardless. So, anyway, absolutely fantastic victory last night. Fantastic, fantastic, fantastic. There's no other way I can put it. The way the Packers played last night, what a way to go into a hostile environment, come away with a win. Than what the Packers did last night. There was a lot of attention coming into the game about how the Packers blew the previous game against the Indianapolis Colts, the big halftime lead, and then to go into a hostile road environment, it didn't look good for the Packers. I predicted the Packers to lose. I was wrong. I'm glad I'm wrong. They come away with the victory, and that's that. I mean, the team has now, as Aaron Rodgers put it last night in his post-game interview, silenced the critics. Aaron Rodgers made what's now becoming a famous interview, or at least maybe a trending interview. It's being passed around social media, things like that. In the post-game show, I think it was an interview with Michelle Tavoya. They talked about several things, but then toward the end of the interview, Michelle Tavoya asked Aaron Rodgers what he'd like to say to the critics, and Aaron Rodgers just ended the interview by saying, shh. So, there was a lot of talk all week. Of course, the disappointing loss to the Colts, Packers blow the big lead. But, the offense has just not gotten on track all year. Aaron Rodgers wasn't playing up to the same standard as he was the year prior when he had won the NFL's MVP award. The defense had been off and on. Just all these questions about the Packers. And at least for one night, really for the rest of the week, they put him to rest. After a win last night. There's going to be nothing but good things said about the Packers this week as they, revel in the win over the Houston Texans, a previously undefeated Houston Texans team. And the star of the day is Aaron Rodgers. Last night throwing for over 300 yards, 6 touchdowns, and equally impressive, 0 turnovers, 0 interceptions. It was a scintillating performance, one of the best in the history, in the career, pardon me, of Aaron Rodgers, which is now a career that has had many good games. And it was just added to last evening. He was just precision. Aaron Rodgers was far from the only one. But really a great game. You just do not see many times where quarterbacks throw 6 touchdown passes in a game. And Aaron Rodgers did that last night. Was hoping that he'd tie the NFL record. I think the NFL record is 7. I'm not sure if anybody has ever exceeded that. I don't think anybody has. But would have been nice to see him get one more in there. But as it was, Aaron Rodgers finishes the night with 6 touchdown passes. Looks absolutely great. You know, finally looked up to the level he set last year by being the NFL's MVP. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers prior to this, coming into this game, hadn't maybe looked like that MVP, but it wasn't as if he was playing bad. I think on the season now, Aaron Rodgers, if I'm correct, and I haven't looked up the stats since last night's game, but coming into the game, I think he was leading the NFL in completion percentage. And I think I saw on Twitter this morning, Aaron Rodgers now leading the NFL in passer rating. I mean, pretty good for a guy who's, many saying that he's not playing like the MVP. Well, he's pretty much up to that level in several statistical categories. And, a lot of it due to the play of last night's game. So great job by Aaron Rodgers. And if I could throw out a superlative performance on the other side of the football, performance 1 and 1A would be the performance of the run defense in containing Arian Foster and the Texans rushing offense. There was a lot of attention coming into the game about the Texans rushing offense and specifically Arian Foster, deservedly gaining a reputation as one of the best running backs in the NFL, came into the game with the second most rushing yards in the NFL on the year. Well, had led the NFL in rushing in years prior. And the Packers just absolutely stymied the Texans' running attack. Stymied them, and stymied Arian Foster in specific. If I could go through the stats here, the Texans finished with 28 carries for 90 yards, 3.2 yards a carry. Several of those coming from Justin Forsett and garbage time at the end, though. The key stat here, Arian Foster, 17 carries for 29 yards. That's an average of 1.7 yards per carry. And they're doing this with a defense that was without the services of big, large, mammoth nose tackle B.J. Raji. It was kind of thought coming into the game, maybe the Packers would struggle without Raji in there. Well, heck, they looked better without Raji in there. And I'm not saying that it's due to Raji being out, but they looked great last night. It was a team effort. I mean, I give a lot of credit to nose tackle, fill-in nose tackle Ryan Pickett. Well, he plays nose tackle off and on all the time. But moving to nose tackle almost full-time last night in the Packers' base defense, and Jarrell Worthy then taking Pickett's spot at end in the base defense. Total team effort. Everyone. Pickett was really a wall last night. That doesn't show up in the box score, unfortunately. But he played great. Worthy, I think, might have had the best performance of his young career by really getting more playing time in the base defense than he's ever gotten this year. And getting a sack on top of that to go along with the play of C.J. Wilson. A.J. Hawk continuing to do a good job, especially in playing the run. Great job there. Good job by DJ Smith and Brad Jones at inside linebacker. More on that to come. But Clay Matthews playing like a beast, simply unblockable. Even though he didn't even have a sack last night, his impact was still immeasurable. Just so quick, and all over the field, lining up right outside linebacker, left outside linebacker, doing stunts, rushing the A-gap, blitzing, you name it, dropping into coverage. Clay Matthews can do it. There was fantastic, fantastic play all around. Kudos to the front seven in stopping the Texans' run game. That was key last night. Absolutely key. And almost a good performance as what Aaron Rodgers did. So there's your keys to the game. I mean, the offense, you have to search for a bad performance last night. You really do have to look hard for one. I mean, just everybody looked good, especially on the offensive side of the football. Especially. Let's see here. The receivers look good. And, you know, the trio of receivers last night, Jordy Nelson with 3 touchdowns, James Jones with 2, and then Randall Cobb having over 100 yards receiving himself. Those three just did a terrific, amazing job last night for the Packers. The protection is great. Aaron Rodgers, even though J.J. Watt had 2 sacks, they basically didn't mean a whole lot. Aaron Rodgers getting a lot of time to work in the pocket, getting rid of the football when he didn't have, you know, perhaps maybe enough time as he may have wanted. But things aren't always going to be perfect. The offensive line did a good job. And you know, just everywhere you look on offense last night, nothing but thumbs up. I think they're going to grade out pretty well last night. When they look at the game film and they go back, there's little to find fault with the way the Packers played, especially on offense. I mean, go across the offensive line, left tackle to right tackle, look at all the receivers, the tight ends looking good. JerMichael Finley with his injury, kind of playing a limited role, didn't play a whole lot, but you know, Tommy Crabtree getting a nice touchdown in there, a nice catch and run, nice acceleration from Tom. Fantastic. Ryan Taylor probably playing maybe the biggest role of his career, getting some of the most playing time with Finley being limited and DJ Williams out. So, you know, good job all around there from the Packers. So Alex Green at running back looked pretty good. Not great. But considering it was the very first start of Alex Green's career, you know, another thumbs up. Let's look at his statistics here. Alex Green finished with 22 carries for 65 yards, an average of what's only 3.0 yards per carry. So nothing great. But again, I mean, for the first start of his career, good job. I mean, toting the rock 22 times, that's great. And what the Packers did is they showed a confidence in Alex Green. And he, you know, repaid the favor by playing solidly. Mike McCarthy coming into the game said the running back who had the hot hand would end up getting the majority of the carries. Well, you know, Alex Green just played solid from the get-go. And the Packers never... shied away from taking him out of the game until the fourth quarter when the game was in hand. You know, finally, James Starks got to see the first playing time of the year after he missed the first several games with the turf toe injury. But after that, he didn't come in until the fourth quarter, games in hand. He gets a few rushes to milk out the clock at the end. And, you know, he did fine, I guess. Nothing special, but... Alex Green just being trusted and doing the job, you know, protecting the football, didn't fumble. It looks a little bit rusty in pass protection, something he's going to have to work on. But also looked great as the game went on. He picked up a key blitz on one of those 6 touchdown passes, and I forget which one it was, and I think it was in the second half of the game. It wasn't in the first, but Alex Green doing a good job, for a guy who doesn't have a whole lot of experience. I think he's only going to get better from here on out. So good job. And it's going to be on his shoulders, I think, a lot the rest of the year. You know, him and James Starks, I think James Starks will play, you know, more and more as time goes on here and he gets, you know, more back to health. But I think Alex Green is going to be relied upon at least until Cedric Benson comes back, maybe at the end of the year. He's on that designated for return list. But, I mean, really, we're not talking till December here until Cedric Benson comes back, if then. So You know, be interesting to see what the Packers do there toward the end of the year. So, lot to play out. Now, not necessarily everything was hunky dory last night. And I see a comment here on the live blog from Lewis. Are we going to get a linebacker for a trade? You know, don't anticipate it. You know, I want to go over some of the injuries last night, and perhaps the most serious one looks to be to linebacker DJ Smith at a position where the Packers really, you know, if there's one position where they maybe couldn't afford an injury, it might be inside linebacker. Now, first of all, DJ Smith is starting in place of Desmond Bishop, who's out for the year with a hamstring injury suffered during the preseason. So he's done. His season has been ended. And now DJ Smith having a knee injury last night. The extent still unknown. The extent is unknown about all these injuries yet. We don't really have an update. Don't really know what's going on. I'm sure head coach Mike McCarthy will address it today, but even he might not know quite the extent yet. DJ Smith going out of the game, it didn't look good. You know, according to the report in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel from, I believe, Tom Silverstein and Bob McGinn, DJ Smith was seen with crutches after the game, as was running back Brandon Sain. Of the four injuries last night, Smith, Sain, and then linebacker Nick Perry and cornerback Sam Shields, the two most serious ones look to be to Smith and Sain. And I would agree just by looking at the injuries, seeing how they react, seeing them being carted off to the locker room, seeing the replays, those look to be the most serious, could miss several weeks, who knows, could be lost for the season. I don't know. I'm speculating here. We wait to see an update for later in the week here from Mike McCarthy, but certainly doesn't look good for Smith and Sain. Now, with Brandon Sain, the Packers just simply move on at running back. They got Cedric Benson coming late in the year. You know, it's unfortunate Brandon Sain's got to be injured, but, I don't think that the Packers are going to, you know, make any moves at running back or anything like that in reaction to his injury. They just ride Alex Green and James Starks. Now, as for DJ Smith, you know, his injury is potentially the most serious to the team as well, because, you know, who filled in last night? Brad Jones, a guy who was an outside linebacker for most of his career leading up to last night's game. He did a fine job last night filling in, not asked to do a whole lot. But, I mean, here's a guy who doesn't have a lot of experience, a guy who's, you know, obviously the third string backup at best on the Packers behind Bishop and Smith, if all things being equal, if everybody's healthy. Brad Jones is going to be asked to play a big role here going forward, I think, because, you know, you just can't, you know, expect a trade to happen. It just, this isn't baseball. You know, yes, trades happen in the NFL. They are pretty rare when they do in season. But, even more so, it's just so hard to get a guy caught up to speed in your schemes, in your system, terminology, things like that. Even if the Packers do go out and trade for an inside linebacker, which I don't think they will, you know, how long is it going to take for the guy to get comfortable and get put out there? You know, that's the biggest thing, and that's why you don't see trades happen in the NFL, just because, you know, it's like time is lost doing those kind of things. It'd just be better to go with the guy, a backup, you know, who knows the system at least. Brad Jones at least, you know, is practicing there every day and knows everything. At least Brad Jones is a good athlete, good fluid guy, good on special teams. What really could hurt is, you know, now A.J. Hawk might be asked to play an even bigger role in the passing game. You know, the Packers have been limiting A.J. Hawk quite a bit this season to playing mostly on running downs. And he's been doing a fantastic job. Kudos to AJ Hawk. Might be having the best season of his career because he's being limited to mostly running downs, being taken off the field quite a bit in passing downs where he doesn't have to, go into coverage a whole lot. But now that Smith is out, they might be asking AJ Hawk to do that more. I don't know. Maybe Brad Jones or Rob Francois or Terrell Manning, Jamari Lattimore could do these things, but they're all inexperienced, and we don't know. We don't know. At least AJ Hawk has the experience. He's done it before, tried and failed, unfortunately, on many occasions in coverage. So that's why this is so serious, the injury to DJ Smith. So, if the Packers just got to, get by for a couple weeks, that's perhaps no big deal. But if they have to do it for longer than that, then, well, maybe. DJ Protege suggests on the live blog bringing in a veteran inside linebacker. I don't know. Maybe if it's a case where they have roster spots open on the defense, with guys going on injured reserve, maybe they can. I don't know who's out there. I know the sideline view and Adam Kaplan usually has a pretty good list of who's available out there on the street. So maybe you can go check out the sidelineview.com and see who are the best available street free agents are. I don't know, but even if there is, guys going on injured reserve and roster spots open, you got to assume that those are going to be filled by the guys on the PUP list real quick who can start practicing this week. They don't necessarily have to be put on the active roster this week, but guys like Frank Zombo, an outside linebacker, or Andrew Corliss, tight end, Derek Sherrod, the tackle, they can at least start practicing this week. They're eligible to. They don't have to either, but they're eligible to start practicing this week and could see them here. And I see Jamie Lee here is bringing up the list of the best available inside linebackers. So there you go. Kind of an interesting list right here. Steven Cooper, Andre Davis, EJ Henderson, of course, being one of the bigger names there on the list. So who knows? Greg Jones, is that the guy from Michigan State who played so well in college? I mean, he's just a second-year guy. Is he already on the street? Yeah, I've heard he hasn't done that well in the NFL, but wow, he just played so well at Michigan State. Who knows what the Packers will do here? We kind of play the wait-and-see game as we learn how serious these injuries may or may not be. As for the other ones that don't look too bad, Nick Perry, Sam Shields. Sam Shields' injury definitely did not look bad. He just got kicked in the shin. I think taking him out of the game was just, precautionary. The Packers had the game in hand. So, and even if Sam Shields did go down, they seem to have good depth with Casey Hayward. Congratulations, Casey Hayward, with two interceptions last night. He's looking good, and they got Devon House now too, who looks like he's at the point where maybe he could come back and play. So Packers, seem to be in good shape at cornerback, but I think Sam Shields is going to be all right, so it's not going to matter. Nick Perry, I don't know there. Came out of the game and didn't come back. He's kind of a question mark. Could be a thing where maybe he misses a couple weeks. Even if he does, the Packers in pretty good shape at outside linebacker with Eric Walden and Desmond Moses backing up there. So, they can get away without Nick Perry for a while if need be. So, that's where the Packers are at on the injury front. So, not a whole lot, of positives coming out of the game on that front. It was very interesting how this year, the first, 3-4 weeks of the season, the Packers didn't have too many injuries. They had, Greg Jennings, was kind of have this off and on groin injury, but he seemed to be the only one. And you're like, okay, we can live with one injury that isn't really all that serious. Greg Jennings will come back. But then just in the past 2-3 weeks now all of a sudden the injuries are piling up with, Cedric Benson going on the injured reserve list, B.J. Raji, JerMichael Finley, D.J. Williams all getting injured, and then last night having four injuries where the Packers, you know, they got to at least come out of the game. So, you know, all of a sudden they're piling up a little bit, but, you know, Packers have dealt with injuries before, you know, notably in the 2010 Super Bowl season when they had so many people on injured reserve. They'll get by. They'll get by. Going to be a few tough points along the way, especially at inside. I mean, maybe you could look at it something like the inside linebacker situation maybe being like what the Packers had to deal at safety in 2010 when Morgan Burnett went down and then, you know, Charlie Pepper had to play the rest of the way. And Charlie Pepper ended up playing great during the Super Bowl season. That was 2010 was the high point of Charlie Pepper's career, you know, and maybe that's what happens to a Brad Jones here. You can only hope so going forward, but, you know, going back to the game here, great job last night. You know, all around, we talked about it. If anything was a negative last night, the Packers' pass defense was so-so. They did a good job forcing turnovers. They got three interceptions, a nice one by Casey Hayward, an even nicer one by Sam Shields, and then Casey Hayward kind of got lucky again on a tipped ball, but still, you know, an interception nonetheless. I thought Tremont Williams maybe had a little bit of a weak game in coverage, especially against, he was lined up across from Andre Johnson quite a bit. And good job by Tremont Williams. He didn't get beat deep at all, didn't get really hurt, but did give up quite a few first downs to Andre Johnson. You know, if that's the worst that happens to the Packers, well, you know, you can live with that, certainly. So I'm just saying, if there was a weak point, that was it. I thought Sam Shields didn't look good when he did get called there for pass interference. I think it was a worthy pass interference call. Certainly he's been victim to some poor calls earlier in the year. You know, I thought he was guilty on his one pass interference call in the first half of last night's game and gave up a few completions to Kevin Walter. You know, a little bit of a rough time in the Packers pass defense and coverage, especially, you know, Morgan Burnett still not doing anything out there. Not that he's playing bad, but, you know, again, when is Morgan Burnett ever going to step up? When is Morgan Burnett ever going to do anything? You know, just doesn't make plays out there. He makes tackles here and there, but that's it. Morgan Burnett makes tackles. That's the most we can say about him. Not making any, you know, sort of impact plays at all. And so kind of waiting for that still. We might be splitting hairs here. The Packers did have the one punt block in the fourth quarter. It was something where, you know, the game was already in hand, so you're not going to put up too much of a stink, but it was, you know, not something that you want to do, see a punt get blocked in the end zone nonetheless, that ends up being a touchdown for the Texans in the fourth quarter. But seeing as the Packers had put the game away already, you kind of look past that a little bit and look at all the positives. Tim Maste having a great game. You know, it certainly wasn't his fault that the punt got blocked, but just does such a tremendous job with his punt placement that, man, he can just pin guys inside the 20, and those guys covering the punts know exactly where to go and how to cover, how to tackle, and how to cover as well. It's the negatives are minor for the Packers. The punt block that didn't mean a whole lot, the pass coverage that didn't give up a big play, minor concerns in the whole scheme of things. looking good everywhere and everywhere else, from Aaron Rodgers to the receivers to the offensive line, pass protection, a good performance from a young player in the run game in Alex Green. Great job by the Packers pass defense. So many superlatives last night that, you know, it's they did a great job, and time to move forward. Look forward to the St. Louis Rams this week, ending this three-game road trip, hopefully with a win. It's been fun, folks, here on a Monday morning on Railbird Central, kind of looking back at a victory. But that'll be do it until Wednesday, when Pro Football Focus's Nathan Yonke joins us for a Wednesday interview. Look forward to that, as he does every week here on Railbird Central. On behalf of Jamie Jars, on behalf of John Rahor, I'm Brian Caravu. We'll be back on Wednesday. We'll talk to you then, folks. Enjoy the win. Enjoy Victory Monday. I leave you today with a song called Valley of the Jig by String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. We'll see you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.